Amen. Good to see all of you. Let's see if I can do this. Again, I trust you've had a good afternoon or good day if you weren't here earlier. Those of us who got to hang out some mornings and talk about prayer, it's been a lot of fun talking about prayer. The joy of prayer, God delivering us from the boredom, absolute boredom of prayer, and thank God. Well, Lord, I just thank you again for gathering us together. Lord, I trust that you're going to open the Word to us and speak life. Lord, that's what your Word does. Words of life. Give us ears to hear. Thank you for your anointing. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last night we just kind of jumped around the Song of Solomon, really placed from chapter 3 primarily. Just looked at some different things, and we'll do that again tonight. Just do some random stuff that I think put some pieces of the puzzle together even more. And then we'll again minister to you and pray for you. And how many of you so far, and this is just for us, our own faith, have experienced at some level healing, either in your bodies or in your emotions? Raise your hands up really good, huh? So look around, everybody. Pretty cool, huh? So how many of you physically, your healing has been 80% or more? Raise your hands. Yeah, there's some more here. Amen. We'll go at it again tonight. Okay? I'm going to start in the Song of Solomon, but we're not going to stay there very long. But I just want to share with you, those of you who have either in a new way or in a renewed way or for the first time have come to see that we're called to live and experience and express the fullness of Christ, there are some things that are important for you to realize as you walk this out. Cultivating a life of joyful prayer is part of that. It's foundational. It helps this walk be sustainable. It says in Ephesians chapter 1 again, verse 22 and 23, "For the church is the fullness of him who is filling all and who's in all." Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10 says, "For all the fullness of deity is embodied in him, and we have been made complete in him." Well, that word complete there is the same word, fullness. And that little verse, verse 10, is one of those glorious perfect tenses, which means something that's completed in the past, but with continual impact present tense results. And so if you look at that verse in light of that and how they would have read it when it was written, "For in him all the fullness of deity is embodied, and you have been and continually are experiencing or having his fullness." You've been and have been made full in him. We spend a lot of time in our Christian life, Sandra and I were talking about this today, asking the Lord to do things that he's already doing. And our calling is to rest in that. Most of us live our Christian lives with pleading faith. And God's called us to enter into resting faith. And there's a huge difference. "For the church is the fullness of him who's filling all and who's in all." He's in every one of you. And he's filling you right now. Now, whether or not you're appropriating that, you're celebrating that, you're experiencing that, it's just between you and God and the issue of faith. Faith is not very difficult. It's going to be challenged. That's why he says it's a good fight of faith. I fight the good fight of faith. Because the enemy doesn't want you to believe. He wants you to plead. He wants you to beg. He wants you to continue to think, "I know that God can, I just hope that he will." Instead of trusting that he is. And again, there's a world of difference between freedom and being unfree. And so when we talk about the fullness of Christ and walking in the fullness of Christ, there is a place of transaction in your heart where you cross the line and you claim that for yourself. But it's not a claiming that says, oh God, fill me, fill me, fill me. It's the claiming that says, Lord, I believe that you're filling me and filling me and filling me. I'm going to walk in that. I'm going to trust in that. I'm going to decree that. I'm going to declare that. I'm going to confess that because it's true. You know, there is a place, and I think sometimes we stray away from it a little bit because we've heard such nonsense in the charismatic world. And I'm a charismatic, so charismatics are cute. They're entertaining, for sure. This whole thing about positive confession, you can have what you say, and no, you can have what he says. The word confess means to agree with. That means somebody had to say something first, and that God wants everybody rich and all that kind of stuff. But I love this truth. There is a truth of that. They believe in your heart and confess with your mouth those who get saved. In verse 13 of 2 Corinthians 4, but having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore also we speak. And I can tell whether somebody's trusting or pleading by their conversation. In the King James Version, almost every place where the word behavior is used is translated conversation. And there's just something about restful, confident conversation when you trust and you understand that he is filling you right now. You don't have to be anxious about that. As a matter of fact, you know that it says in 1 Peter 5, casting all your anxiety on him, for he's caring for you. Do you understand that God says his will is for us to be anxiety-free? That seems ridiculous, doesn't it? And what's so unfortunate, we've settled for less than that, and we've decreed, and we've created a new normal. But it's not God's normal. If we're called to be Christ-like, and again, not by imitation, but by manifestation, by impartation and manifestation, by participation in his life, Jesus didn't live in anxiety. And the Christ who we carry, who we're in union with, as we allow him to live his life through us, we don't have to walk in anxiety either, even about the smallest things. Did any of you get challenged today? I did, about a situation. Mm-hmm. Lord said in that passage in Song of Solomon 3 that I'm in Christ, that Satan chair. It's a traveling Christ couch of Jesus. And I'm in him, and I'm called to rest in his presence, lean against him in try faith and trust. And that the terrors of the night I don't have to be concerned with because he's already been there. He's already overcome the world. This Christ who lives in me, and there's not one thing I'm going to face that he hasn't already faced, that he doesn't already know about. All the things around the corner, he's been around the corner. And it says that he's an expert at war. I don't have to be the expert. I don't have to figure it out. We'll see that more in just a minute. Any of you get hit with anything today that you had to just contend to stand in faith, the fight, the warfare, that he's the expert here? I don't have to be. And he's not always going to fill me in on how he's going to do things. That's frustrating, isn't it?
Yes.
But here's one thing I wanted to show you from Song of Solomon, then we'll go somewhere else. This whole place in Song of Solomon 2, when he says, arise, my love, come away with me, in response to the Shulamite's desire, take me away with you to that place where I can experience Christ-likeness, I can enjoy and grow in my experience of fullness. Now, again, remember, this is so important, I've said this several times, that you understand this. Most Christians live their Christian life this way, fighting to get to a place of fullness, of victory, of anointing, and of favor, fighting to get to that place from which they can live. Christianity, you were born into that place. by birth. It was your inheritance. You were born into a place of fullness and victory and favor and anointing from which we fight. Okay? But here's the way the enemy's going to attack. So this is kind of like, there's a book by a man named Charles Trumbull, written 100 years ago or so. And there's a section in the back of the book. It's called Victory in Christ. Section in the back of the book is the perils of the walk in the Spirit. It's got some cool practical stuff. So a little bit tonight, there's some more. Hopefully the Holy Spirit will reveal some new things to us, reinforce some stuff, but also give you some insight into some of the perils. One of them is to not have a sustained, joyful prayer life. That's why we did what we've done this week in the mornings. But having come to this place where he says, yes, come away with me, in chapter 2, the secret place, the steep pathway we've been talking about, he says, let me hear your voice. Your voice is sweet. Your presence is lovely. Then he says, now catch the foxes for us. The little foxes that are ruining the vineyards while our vineyards are in blossom. That's a really neat passage and a really powerful one in the Song of Solomon. Is that the enemy's not going to try to rob you from what you may have entered into or you've been renewed in by lions and tigers and bears, oh my. It's going to be little foxes. You see, when the vineyard's in blossom, when you come to a conference or whatever, and you're just entering into, once again, the river of his fullness that's flowing in you already, and there's just this sense of freedom and release and anxious, free living. Because, again, that passage that says in First Peter, casting all your anxiety on him, for he cares for you. That word there, cares for you, doesn't just mean because he's concerned about you. It's present tense. And he's taking care of you. He's taking care of it. He's already got it. He's the expert at war. And so as we cast things on him, because he's got it, he's taking care of it. And in this passage, it's the little foxes. When your vineyard, your heart relationship with the Lord is in blossom, it's the little foxes that are going to come. The little things that are very familiar. Little attitudes, little conversations, little disposition that you don't pay a whole lot of attention to. And you may even say, but I'm so much better than I was about that. It's victory that the Lord is after, not just better. This Christian life is a transformation. And so, and the interesting thing he says, but you have to catch the foxes, and it's for us. It's about us, Chuck. It's about this relationship that we have. And the little foxes are the things that are sort of unnoticeable, but they go after the root. The little fears, the little anxieties, the little complaints, the little places. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. They spring out of this little attitude, and they eventually come out of your mouth. You can always tell whether a person's walking in faith because of their conversation. If somebody wins the lottery, they're not spending a lot of time talking about the payment on their car. There's no worries. So he says to us, the enemy's going to come at you with the little foxes. And the Holy Spirit, you can trust him. You don't have to walk around introspection. He's the convictor, the convincer. In his grace, he'll show you. So just when he points something out, own it for what it is. If you've already given into it, call it what it is. Confess it as sin. Thank him that he's filling you. You don't have to ask him. He fills all and he's filling all and he's in all. You know, again, that whole place in, and you say, well, I have these issues and I just hope I can be okay and I hope it works out good and oh my goodness, I'm afraid that what if I end up back where I was? Christ is all, and he's in all. whatever it is you've dealt with before, that's not all. It's something, but it's not all. Christ is all, and he's your victory. Your victory is a person. It's not a formula. It's not an experience. It's a person. Thanks be to God who is right now giving you the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And if somebody's given you something, all you got to do is just keep receiving it. Just like you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, it says, so walk ye in him. Just keep receiving him as your life and your victory. But the attack is going to come, not necessarily through the obvious things, but the daily little foxes. Being rude, unpleasant, all those little things that you think your personality excuses them, no, it doesn't. I get tickled that people who are artistic, who live their life in the arts, they think that somehow the rules are different from them. No, no, they're not different than them. I know that when, I probably have told this story, when Lee and I first got married, you know, I'd been single for 30 years. And by nature, I mean by the natural fall, I'm not the most organized, neat person in the world. That's just not a real priority for me. It's like, I remember years ago, there's this box, and it's on the floor in our bedroom, and Livia says, Chuck, put the box up in the attic. I'm going, okay, cool. But after two or three days, I forgot about it. And a year and a half later, she says, you know what? If you really love me, you do something about that box on the floor. And I thought, what box? I just learned to live with the box. It was just part of the furniture. And plus, I said, my love for you has been reduced to whether or not I get this box. I said, that's a little extreme, but I don't understand, but I'll walk it out anyway with you. But when we first got married, she thought it was okay, when we first got married, to be nasty. Because we lived in a parsonage. And I was pastoring the most independent Protestant church. It was actually called the First Independent, but I nicknamed it the most independent Protestant church. I mean, the very name itself is frightening to the core. They had a women's group called WCO, Women's Christians Organization. And they were the meanest bunch of old women I've ever met in my life. They were just nasty people. And we'd always get these reports of critical things they were saying about us. So I renamed them the WCO. I just figured I can't say it. But there was a reason why they were so nasty and mean. But Livy was like crawling on my case all the time. And we had like white carpet and stuff like that. Because she was concerned, because they owned the house, that they would come over there and the house wouldn't be perfect. And people wouldn't like me or be critical. So she was concerned about my well-being. And so after a little while, after like 2 or 3 months, I said, all right, I got to figure this out now. You want me to be happy, right? Yes, I want you to be happy. And so I'm living in hell every day because you want me to be happy. So I sang this little song for her, Carnal, going to heaven but living in hell, you're carnal. And we still have to sing that tune out every once in a while. Because like I said to you yesterday, Livia's as strong as an acre of garlic. My personality type is kind of, let's just get along and be happy. Her personality is more goal-oriented, be more aggressive, you know. And so I've had to learn, not the little foxes that are familiar to my personality and the little foxes that are familiar to her personality, she's got to learn. Because it's the little foxes that will ruin the vineyard. And our responsibility, God will show them to you. He says, catch the little foxes. We have to come into agreement with him and say, yes, no, I'm dead to that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You're my victory right now over anger, fear, jealousy, criticalness. You know, none of you ever had those issues, but just in case you should ever have any of those issues. In Luke, I never can remember if it's chapter 1 or chapter 2. I've only taught from this passage a million times. Chapter 1, really familiar, beginning in verse 26. So I'm going to give you another warning about a couple of little snares as you walk this thing out. appropriating the life that Christ lives. So now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." Now, if the Lord ever says that to you, duck. Okay? Because his favor doesn't always think what you think favor looks like. But she was greatly troubled at this statement, and I can understand why, and kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. And he will be great and be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy offspring that be called the Son of God. Behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she was called barren, is now in her sixth month. For nothing, and literally is, and no word is impossible with God." No word that God speaks is impossible to him. And Mary said, "Behold, the bond slave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now, when Mary says, "Behold, the bond slave of the Lord," this is, I've said this to you before this week several times about John. 92 years old, he designates himself in the book of the Revelation as the bond slave, because that was the most important thing to him. And a bond slave is just simply a volunteer prisoner of the love of Christ. Someone like Paul, when Paul said, "The love of Christ controls me," and that word really means taken away. That's what Mary was, even at this young age. It's one of the reasons the Lord chose her, because he found someone, even at a young age, from which he can do anything, and through which he could do anything, and in which he can do anything. I mean, that's where we start, right? That place of absolute, total surrender to him, that simply says, "Lord, I'm a volunteer prisoner of love. It's your sedan chair. I'm in Christ. Just take me where you want." It's the traveling couch of Solomon. It's your story. I've been plunged into your story, and I've given up my story. I'm in Christ. Christ is in me. So I've given up my story to your story, which is a much bigger story and a much better story and a supernatural story. But he's not going to always travel where you thought he was going to travel or you anticipated, but that's not the issue. Are you a volunteer prisoner of the love of Christ? Have you surrendered to his story? That means he orders your days, right? And all the details of your day. And you don't have to be afraid, because Christ is with you and in you, and whatever he leads you into, he's the expert at war. Again, Song of Solomon 3. Well, see, what Mary was, she was engaged. And as a young girl, we don't know, 15, 17 years old. Some people have said that Joseph was an old guy. We have no proof of that. I think Joseph was a pretty young guy too, probably 20 at least, young. And she had been, it's a contract marriage, so she had been anticipating this life for a number of years, probably since she was a little girl. And now they're engaged, and within a year they're going to be officially married. And I'm sure she has plans. I'm sure she's thought about where they're going to live and different things that are going to happen. That's true when girls get married. They have all kind of dreams and plans. No telling how many times, even in her love for God, in between those times, she's daydreamed about what this life is going to be like. Wondered, you know, we're going to do this, we're going to have this, whatever. And so here she is in prayer, this volunteer prisoner love of Christ. And basically, one side of the story is hell favored one, is that the angel Gabriel tells her, "I'm about to wreck your life. I'm going to ruin all your plans." And he didn't promise her at that moment, Joseph is going to understand. So it's going to be okay. Because he'll just reference all the other friends that he knows, who got pregnant by the Holy Spirit, and it won't bother him at all. And in fact, Joseph didn't understand initially, remember? It took God coming to him by angel in the middle of the night and tell him the real deal. He was simply going to put her away instead of stoning her to death, which is what the law called for. But because he cared about her, he was just going to have her put her away, hide like exile. And so Mary had no assurance that things were going to be okay. With me? And all she knows is that her future has been destroyed and her reputation will be destroyed forever. Because I can guarantee you most of the people that she lived with, the vast majority of the people that she lived around, knew the story that Jesus came early and that she was an immoral person. That's amazing to me. Why did the Lord do it that way? I mean, did he have to do it that way? I don't think so. I mean, couldn't he have still, I mean, just wait till they first got actually married, then let it be Jesus, and nobody knows that they never really consummated their marriage yet, and it was just, I mean, couldn't he, I mean, still come and die for our sins, all that kind of stuff? I know one of the reasons he did it, because God wants you to understand that you can experience and express his fullness, even in the cloud of scandal. Even if you failed him, and she didn't fail, but everybody thought she did, most everybody did, and even if you've blown it so bad that your life has become a scandalous one, plan A still sits there for you. God is not ashamed to identify himself with broken and fallen people. So no matter where you've been or what you've done, this is where it is for you too. Victorious Christian living is for, that's his destiny for all of us. But the thing that's wonderful about Mary is, she didn't ask why. See, she had settled the whole bondservant thing. She didn't ask why. She knew it was coming. She knew it was possible. She had not had any guarantees that Joseph would be okay. And she doesn't say why. She just says, behold, your servant, be it done to me according to your word. See, one of the places where we get in trouble in this walk with the Lord, one of the perils is the why thing. Why did you do it this way, Lord? Why has it happened like this, Lord? Why is it going on like that, Lord? It just doesn't seem fair, Lord. Something must be wrong, Lord. Why? It's whining. And I know you've never done that. I know that in Christ, as the traveling couch of Solomon takes you places, remember, through the wilderness, where there are terrors by night, and he takes you through a route that you don't like. It's scary. It's rocky. It's difficult. But remember that he's been there. He's done it. He's been tempted in every way like unto you and has overcome. He's the overcomer. We're called to rest in him, letting him lead us through the wilderness, headed towards the glorious wedding, the day of the gladness of his heart. And what he doesn't need is his bride, instead of enjoying his presence and resting against him. Why? Couldn't we have done it another way? Couldn't it happen this way? And the enemy will destroy you with that. Well, I must have made a mistake. I must have made the wrong turn. I must have done this. I must have done that. Now, if you did, if like you took over the bus and you got in trouble, he'll show you, right? And he'll forgive you. He's already forgiven you, but he'll fill you with forgiveness, and you'll get back on the trail. I mean, if you take over the traveling couch and you get in and things try to be a mess, don't just sit there in the wilderness and cry and feel sorry for yourself. Repent. So, yeah, this is yours. It's your story. You get to make the decisions. And as far as you know, where being obedient, you were trusting him and you moved in this direction, or you married this person and there's some rocky roads, don't step back and go, oh my God, this is rough. I remember one time, me and Olivia, years ago, first time I ever met him personally, was we went and spent some time with Bob Jones, who was a real anointed prophet, died not too long ago. And so as we sat down with him in his house, and he began to minister prophetically to us, and we began to talk to him at our Lazarus weekends. This was a gazillion years ago. And how we were all getting beaten up. like the week before and then the week afterwards, just kind of warfare, crazy things, you know, are happening. Like I had two air conditioners go out the first day of Lazarus weekend. One person, I think it may have been me, I don't remember. We had four flat tires and it was like no vandalism. I mean, it was just nutty stuff. Like one poor kid, they were sitting in the kitchen and the ceiling fan came off and just attacked his head. So it's just stuff. Couples were getting these huge fights. I was convincing people, no, you can't drop out. It's 2 days before the weekend. You got to stick with it. It was awful. And so I said, Bob, can you, you know, this is going on. And I thought, you know, here's this famous prophetic God. He looks at me and he goes, bless your heart. He said, do you mean to tell me there's a real war going on? I knew then I was in trouble. I wasn't going to get any sympathy. But it was a powerful reminder to me. Bless your heart. Well, I was obedient and I thought everything would turn out pristine and crystal and looked like favor, really like Mary's, a hell-favored one. You're going to lose your reputation. You're probably going to lose your future. And the reputation thing never got fixed. You're going to watch your son die on a cross. We got to get real about this thing about walking in faith. You're in Christ. He's driving the bus. He knows exactly where he's going. And he's an expert at war. When it's all said and done, and when you're standing before him, and you look back and it all doesn't sum up Christ, then you can complain. You hear me? And the enemy wants you to second guess everything. My goodness, quit being so complicated. We're sheep. We're not spiritual rocket scientists. Sheep are not real brilliant. They're made to follow, not question. And so we can get in trouble asking, why? It's not fair. Why this happened? Why is it going like this? Stop it. And thank God Mary didn't do that. Quite an example of a surrendered heart, even as a young person. But the next thing that happens, she says, once she hears this thing, Mary looks at the angel and says, how can this be since I'm a virgin? Now, here's the deal. Why can get you in trouble? You can't even get started. You can't even move forward if there's constant whys. My son, Woody, he was always telling me when he was little, that's just not fair. Because he thought we were dumb. We were dumb. And so his ideas were always better than ours. And we were stupid. So we bought him a little hat that just said, that's not fair. And he wore that for years. He should probably still wear it around sometimes. Huh? Can you borrow it? Yes. Yeah, I should have produced them. I'd have made a lot of money. But the other thing that can get you in trouble is how? Okay, Lord, I know that I'm in Christ, and so you're leading. You promised you would. And so, okay, that's good. And I'm supposed to trust you, but how's this going to work out? Because none of it makes sense to me. I can't see how this is going to work out. I can't see how this is going to happen. You ever done that? You ever worried because you couldn't figure out how it was going to be okay? And frustratingly, he doesn't seem to want to give you any insight into how it's going to be okay? And so, not only do the whys get us in trouble, but the hows. None of your business. He's Lord, not you. And if he explained to you how, it'd probably scare you to death, and you'd jump out of the little sedan chair and try to jump out of the in Christ thing. He's extraordinarily creative. There's a lot at stake. Not just your little world, but a lot of other people's little world. Every one of you are history makers. There's nobody else like you who's ever been, ever will be, or has a unique part in the story he's telling that you have. He and Thomas used to say, all of history away has been waiting your arrival. So your story, which is actually his story, but it's a unique story, run the race set before you. Well, you've all got your own little unique course and path. And like I said to you last night, that traveling couch of Solomon, that in Christ thing, when Jesus walked in the world and overcame the world, he didn't just take one path. He went all the paths. He knows them all. He knows every inch of the territory. You ever heard that when they're in movies like Westerns? They said, do you know where we're going? He said, I know every inch. Know it like the palm of my hand. Know it like the back of my hand. Jesus knows it better than that. And so he knows exactly where he's going. He knows why he's going there. He knows what he's trying to accomplish there. And so we don't ask why, and then we don't go, how? That's his business. Casting all your cares, all your anxieties about how, upon him, because he's taking care of it. But I can't see it. Commit your way unto the Lord, the psalm says, and he will do it. And that word it there is in italics. It's not in there. It should be in there because it's the itites that get us in trouble, isn't it? Well, how are you going to do it? When are you going to do it? What's it going to look like? How? That's one of the real stumbling blocks of the enemy. It wouldn't be any fun if he knew how all the time. Right?
Yes.
I mean, you're dancing with the Lion of Judah. If he let you in on all the steps, that wouldn't be near as much fun. And you'd bail out. I would. But what's cool is just to let him be who he is and do what he does. And then as you look back, you go, I can't see it all. But somehow, you're being victorious here. And Ephesians says, and in the end, it's all going to sum up Jesus. When you add it all up, I mean, the figure by itself may not make any sense. When all the figures are added up, all the situations, all the circumstances, it's going to all add up Christ. Is this helpful?
Yes.
Okay. Listen, I don't know if there's any anointing on me or not. The anointing flows from the fact that I've perfected the art form of carnality, unbelief, fear, and all those things. Alrighty? So you can't pull anything over on me or say to me, well, you just don't understand what I'm going through. Or you don't understand what I did or what I said. I do understand. She said, well, how can it be since I'm a virgin? And the angel said to her, the Holy Spirit, who makes Jesus Christ personal and real to us, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the ability of the Most High will overshadow you. Because a lot of times we're going, well, how? I just don't see how I can do this. It just seems too much. Have you ever said, I just can't take it anymore? I can't see how I can do this one more day or live in this one more day. I've had so many Christians come up to me and talk to me about their jobs. And I can't take it anymore. I don't know how to do this anymore. And I've been teaching 3 or 4 or 5 days. So I don't mean to be mean, but as you get older, you can say things and you don't really care what people think about you. And so I've been teaching in a conference for days and days and days. And I'm going, I just can't take it anymore. Just pray I get a new job. It's okay, I'll pray and get a new job. But you got that job today. Today is your job. That's the traveling couch for you. That's his story for you is today, right? Right? And I just pray. It's just so horrible. I can't take it anymore. And after a while, I'm just hearing wah, 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 wah. I think that Jesus does too. How? He says how. The Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus, is going to overshadow your weaknesses. He's going to overshadow you. The power of the Most High is going to overshadow you. In our weaknesses, his strength is made perfect. And when I look at circumstances and situations, I'm going, Lord, I don't know if I can deal with this person anymore. I don't know about this circumstance. I don't know how's this payment going to get paid. How am I going to get to Africa? How am I going to do this and do that? And he says, the ability of the Most High is going to overshadow you and all the things that don't make sense to you. All the hows. It's not about your ability. So quit trying to figure it out. You're not the expert here. I am. I'm with you. I'm in you. And I'm going to overshadow your inadequacy, your inability, and your weakness. And I'm going to win. I'll always win. Even when it looked like he lost, he won. And sometimes the little car that you're in on the little ride goes through the dark tomb. And it seems like the dark tomb's all covered up with a huge stone. But when it's all said and done, something supernatural happens to the stone and you come out into the light. It's just, he just does it that way. I don't like roller coasters. But when my son Luke turned 7, we were in Disney World and you did the Splash Mountain thing. You said, well, Splash Mountain, that's like for children. I understand. I understand. I don't like heights. I don't like roller coasters. So we're on this thing, and we're going through this dark, wonderful tunnel, kind of like a river, and there's this music, zippity-doo-da, zippity-ay. My, oh my, what a wonderful day. You know, so that sanguine thing in me is starting to go, plenty of sunshine. And then I'm beginning to remember, this is not good. Hell-favored one. Something bad's about to happen. And then you come out of that wonderful tunnel, my, oh my, with a whoa down this thing. And everybody's like, wonderful. They're oh, this is so, so cool. They're getting wet. I'm screaming like a fat female soprano opera singer. Sometimes Jesus does that. Right?
Yes.
True? Oh. He said, this is how. This is all you need to know. I'm not going to give you any more details, not any more specifics. If I choose to, it's just because I want to, you to cooperate with me as I'm going a different direction. But until I tell you something different, you just keep, stay there, and this is how the power of the Most High is going to overshadow you. I'm going to do it. That's all you need to know. And that's why he says, then your holy offspring, that's the reason, because the Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you and the power of Most High is going to overshadow you. He said, that's the reason the offspring is going to be called the Son of God. And so when you get through this situation or this circumstance or whatever, when you look back, people are going to go, that was God. That was just the Lord. Glory to the Lord. And the more of those things you do, the more comfortable you get without having to know how. You've already settled the why part. He can do anything he wants to. And the how part, you learn. You're not only expert, your power is going to overshadow everything in me that feels totally inadequate to deal with this. And you get it. Behold, your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her own age, and she shall be called barren. It's now in the 6th month, for not one word is impossible to God. Now here's the thing. Our faith, this walk with the Lord, I've said this several times this week, I want you to hear it again. Charismatics, we really need to hear this. We rest in Christ and His Word alone. Not on a feeling, not on an experience. The Lord spoke a word to her. And then he said, isn't it interesting? He didn't say nothing is impossible to God. And that's translated even in the New American Standard that way. Because it didn't make sense. No, it tells total sense. He told her, this is how Holy Spirit's going to come upon you and the power of the Most High is going to overshadow all your weaknesses. All you're going to see is the ability of God at work. Just rest in that reality. Rest on that word, that truth, and that alone. No matter how sketchy it gets, no matter how much it may be, as you walk through this pregnancy and all the things that go with that and the talking and the conversations and the being pregnant thing, to stand on the word and word alone. It's one of the most important things you can hear. Because what you take by faith, he undertakes. What you take, he undertakes. Not one word, he said, is impossible with God. In John chapter 4, and that's one of the reasons I love to share that place in 2 Corinthians 9:8, because that's enough for you for the rest of your life. It covers everything you'll ever face. Every temptation, every internal battle, every external battle. For the God of limitless ability has abounded all that Jesus is, all grace, that you always having all sufficiency may live an abundant life in everything that you do. Always having. Has abounded all grace. Not some grace. This verse doesn't say, and the God of limitless ability has abounded some grace to you, that sometimes having some sufficiency in some things. And those of you who think that that scripture is just talking about finances, it's not just talking about finances. That's why it uses, and God has abounded all grace. Not just financial provision. God has provided all grace to you. And so as we said last night, it's like having an iPhone with all the apps for free. Jesus, it just comes with the stuff. It's just the standard equipment that comes with Christ. And so, again, I'm in a situation or circumstance, and there's an app for that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You're my victory here. You get tempted in some place, thank you, you're my victory here. Thank you for your grace not to think that. Thank you for the grace not to say that anymore. Thank you for the grace to love this person in supernatural. Then you enter into the supernatural. You're not asking him for. How many of you done that? How many did it today? Oh, God, please help me here. Please help me here. Just help me, Lord. The God of limitless ability has abounded all grace. You already got it. That you always having in your hand all sufficiency in everything, the all sufficiency of Christ. So don't help me here. Thank you, Lord, that I'm in Christ and that you're my victory, that you're the expert at war. So here's this man who comes to Jesus, verse 46, and he came therefore again to the Cana of Galilee where he had made the water wine, and there was a certain royal official who was sick at Capernaum. And when he had heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and was requesting him. The language there is he was pleading with him continually to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. And Jesus therefore said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you simply will not believe. And a royal official said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. He's still pleading. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your son lives. That's a word. The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he started off. Can you just believe that one word, that 2 Corinthians 9:8, that you already have all grace? You already have all sufficiency in everything? Can you believe that? You don't need another word. You know, you don't have to read your Bible again. You got that word. That covers everything. Now, read your Bible again. Somebody go in. Bishop said you have to read your Bible again. Because you're reinforced. But you got that word that covers everything you'll ever face the rest of your life. Will you rest in the word? Will you trust in the word? Will you stop believing that he can, start trusting that he is, because that's what his word says, no matter how you feel or what anybody else says? Go your way, your son lives. And the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he started off. And as he was going down, his slaves met him, saying that his son was living, and he inquired of them the hour when he began to get better. And they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the point, at the hour, which Jesus said to him, your son lives. And he himself believed, and his son and his whole household. It just caused him to believe more. Every time Jesus proves himself faithful, your faith grows. Every time you survive Splash Mountain, it's easier to do Splash Mountain. He went there in pleading faith. But he believed the word and left there. Why did he leave? Because he knew. He left there in resting faith. And victory happens in resting faith that stands on the word and the word alone. Don't wait for a feeling. There's Mr. Fact, Mr. Faith, Mr. Feeling. Mr. Fact drives the train. Faith follows Mr. Fact, the word. and feelings follow everything else. You can't ever let feelings drive the train. Our faith is not in our feelings. Our faith is not in what we see. Fear not. Only believe, Jesus said. We live by faith, not by sight. Whatever, again, you're going through, if it comes under the category of everything, like I said last night, then you already have the all-sufficiency of Christ. Just join the chorus by faith. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay, my oh my. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice in it. And you'll survive based on His Word. Okay? Well, it's been an awesome time being with you. And I think this is my 8th time to teach since I did 2 things this morning. So I'll come back because you can't keep me from coming back because I'm your bishop. But you probably won't invite me to do a conference for about 10 years. And because once again, I've told you everything that I know. Let's just see what else God wants to do in ministry, okay? All right, Kuru, come. Bachilos, come. One of my African partners. And just come up here and we'll see what the Lord does, what He says.
Oh, you wanted him.
Oh, you can come if you want to be with him. It's up to you, Miss Young Pachilo. Yeah. Well, you'll be part of the teams that pray for people. Okay, let's spread out a little bit. We conjugate over here. This group over here is not better than this group over here. Okay. That's right. All righty. I believe that Sandra, the Lord has absolutely changed your course. And when He changes our course, you look in Ezekiel like you find yourself now flowing down this river that's just full of life, that bears fruit 12 months out of the year. And the banks are full of fruit-bearing things that give life. And God's, and it isn't about whether you're physically or everything you want to be healed. That's part of the deal Jesus does, but this is about where rivers of living water flow from. In your innermost being. He's just put you in a new course. Set a new course in your life. So it's not going to go away either. No. Because you got 2 Corinthians 9:8. See, I made it simple for everybody. If you don't remember anything else, 2 Corinthians 9:8, you can live the rest of your life resting on what that thing says. Okay? It applies to everything you'll ever face.
I have a word for Sandra also. Just as you were going to speak out. Oh. Sandra, the Lord said that you have been Martha-ing a lot in the last months. You've been busy with your mother, with all kinds of things, and you have not taken the time that you need to refresh yourself, to be with the Lord. And He's saying, I'll take care of everything else. You need to be with me and refresh yourself. You need to concentrate on that, and everything will just all of a sudden just smooth out.
Amen. Father Mark, why don't you come and join us? And you too, Stacy, because you're going to be using you as a team anyway, but you guys move in the prophetic.
I had this word the other night for Mother, and I was going to give it to you privately, but you were engrossed in a conversation with it. The Lord gave me an interesting picture of you pregnant. I don't think it's a Sarah or a Mary anointing. I think He was talking that we used to have these intercessors in our church in New York, and when they prayed, it sounded like they were giving birth. And I think what the Lord is saying is that you have been laboring, and now is the time of transition. The things you've been praying for years, you know the prayers. You've been in that secret place. And over these last few days, there's transition, and God is going to be, you're going to see it come to pass.
So, we were in a conference one time years ago, about 12 years ago, actually, when the whole prophetic thing kind of broke open for me. It's just a side story, why charismatics are so cute. And there were like 20,000 people there, and it was sort of an outdoor deal. We were under this, had a roof, and the seats went down. It was in Statesville, North Carolina, the fiddling contest of the world capital where they had it. And everybody was sitting around. There were no sides, and so it was really kind of open-air deal. And so me and Craig Stoll, we were sitting in this corner, and it was a really cool time. God did some stuff. And this woman decided that she was going to give birth to things in the Spirit. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever seen that before. And so there's this rail, and she's holding onto the rail, giving birth. And I'm saying, Lord, if I have to miss something in you by not doing that, I'm okay. Whatever that is you get by doing that, I can live without it. Jeez. Because Craig had lived sort of a sheltered life with charismatic stuff. This group, my sons learned this story, and this is a fun story. I said, the scariest phrase in all the English language is charismatic women's intercessory group. And I said, just don't find, there's good, but don't ever let yourself be found in that situation. And so we had this group that meets on Wednesday night, and it's his house, and Wood had to go pick up something from there. I forget what it was about. And so this is the story he tells me afterwards. And he said, Dad, I go to knock on the back door. It has windows in the door. And he said, they're like beating on pots and pans and stuff like that. Well, what they were doing was spiritual warfare. They're like making noise and yada, yada, yada. What he doesn't know is that a little mouse had run across the room. And so they're beating pots and pans, and they picked up some brooms to kill the mouse. And he said, Dad, they're beating on pots and pans. Then they picked up brooms, and I thought they were going to start flying around the room any moment now. I said, son, I told you, charismatic women's intercessory groups, stay away from them. They serve a purpose. I'm grateful for them, but never let yourself be found in that circumstance ever again. Sorry. Just invoke some stories of which I need inner healing from. Right.
Well,
for Kinsey, Young's going for it. What's wrong with the rest of you sissies? Give words. I just kept hearing this Lord say, tell Kinsey she's about to take a turn for the purse. I thought, you didn't mean worse because I'm not going to give her that word, Lord. They said, turn for the purse. I believe that there's some financial stuff that you're about to have a breakthrough into where the windows of heaven are going to be open and some things that you and your husband cried out for are just going to be released into your experience. Okay, just as favor.
Michael, my brother Michael, I had a vision of you at the start of a race. You know, you were in the position in the blocks, and you kept waiting for the gun, and you kept taking off before the gun went off. And I have a feeling the Lord is saying, I've given you all kinds of gifts, and you are aware of them, but don't get ahead of me. Don't take off before I tell you to. So wait until the Lord tells you, go.
Donald, I saw this picture of you like with a group, and you were being the tour guide, and doing a really good job being the tour guide, making sure everybody survived the trip. But you never really got to enjoy all the things that, because you were so busy keeping everybody okay and being the tour guide. And I just see you moving into this season in your life where you don't have to keep everything together for everybody. You just get to enjoy the journey and see the sights you never got to really experience. See, I hate it when Livia says, when you go to Africa, take pictures. No, if I take pictures, I won't get to enjoy anything that I see. You know, I said, so I just think you're at a place where that's, you're moving into a new place. And you get to enjoy the trip. You know? I'm going to start calling y'all out individually. Thank
you. So, Donald, I also had a word for you, too. What I was seeing is that you were standing and you were looking up and you were almost a bit befuddled by looking up. And you were hanging on to things and you started to let go of things and you started to rise. And the process of rising, you got up to a height and you could see things very differently. And what I believe the Lord was saying is he's taking you into a season of breakthrough because you have been wanting to know more. You've wanting to go, in a sense, higher to see. And you've just naturally begun to let go. And that letting go process, you're not hanging on to stuff, and it's getting you to a height to be able to see things like you haven't seen before, but you've wanted it, and you haven't known how to get there. And the Lord's taking you there by you just letting go and not being afraid to let go.
Loretta, this is for you. The you. I think the Lord's been really speaking to you a lot lately, and he's trying to draw you out of yourself into something that's a little, I think you kind of feel a little frightened by it because you're just so unsure, and you know, and you don't want to do it, but you got to do it, okay? Just trust in him and just open up and be transparent with him and just go wherever he's really leading you in your heart. He's brought you to this moment in time, in this spot, to just do some stuff. He really wants to use you in a real powerful way, way beyond anything that you've ever really thought of. And he wants to do it in the spiritual things. He's, there's just things that he will show you that he doesn't show us. And I'm saying most of us won't see. If you'll just give in and go with him, he'll just give you real spiritual eyes to just see with a real clarity. But it's up to you. He gives you the choice. He's not going to make you do things.
Yeah. Back there in the very back row with the blue, yeah, who just looked, yes. I just kept hearing the Lord say that you're about to begin a magical mystery tour and that God's given you an amazing ability to reason. But he's going to take you into a place where you're going to so operate by heart. In other words, some supernatural things are going to happen. Unreasonable things are going to start occurring in your life. He's going to meet you in the night watches and dreams and things like that. But you're just going to move into a supernatural realm where God speaks to you in supernatural ways. You see God do some supernatural things just to release you into that realm. So he brings a real union. God's given you a wonderful head. And now God, your head and your heart are going to come in union with each other. And you're going to see a lot of things. And God's going to teach you those times when you just have to turn your head off because it makes no sense. But it'll be awesome. It'll be God. Okay? And so make sure you record those things. And so I'm not sure what you do. I know that I see you in positions where you're like taking care of, and you're going to see some supernatural things happen as you're caring for people. Okay.
For my other sister, Jennifer, I can just keep hearing the Lord say, it's time for you to do what he's called you to do. Quit waiting for it to be some big grandiose type of thing. Quit waiting for anything and just begin in the very most simplistic way. Begin to follow the path that you've been feeling for years that the Lord's calling you to do. And quit waiting for something, you know? He is the thing and you are the thing. And he just wants you to begin to just take that first small step. You don't have to be like,
amen.
Yeah, I'm stirring up trouble, right?
Christ is all, not your situation.
Amen.
Christ is all. Lord says you're not trapped. Stop talking like you're trapped. Stop thinking like you're trapped. God says that you're triumphant in him. Start acting like that's true. Okay? Go, young. You're doing awesome.
This is for George. I had a picture of you dressed like Davy Crockett, and I heard the old theme song, you know, Davy Crockett. Okay. You're too young probably to even have seen the show. But, you know, he did a lot of, he had a lot of adventures, and he traveled a lot. And I think the Lord is saying he's going to take you to places that you had no idea that he was going to take you. And you might sometimes wonder, am I supposed to step out in this? But he's preparing you for this, for these new adventures. So
you're about to leave where? For where?
That's pretty cool.
Okay.
All the rest of you guys can sit down. Young, you just step here with me. About another good story about the Lord being in Christ and some of the fascinating things he'll do. That same trip to Disney World. It's Luke's birthday, so we took him to Fort Wilderness. It's like a dinner club that has like 2,000 people. And on his 7th birthday, and you're all at these tables, and they'll have a stage, and they do Davy Crockett thing. But the lead person is Davy Crockett's angel. Yes. Guess who got picked to be Davy Crockett's angel?
You.
So I had shorts on. And a shirt on, and they put a tutu on me.
Oh, my God.
And put a halo over my head.
And wings.
And a wand, a little star thing, and I pirouetted on the stage around Davy Crockett as my children got under the table and crawled out of the building. In Christ. You know what I'm saying? That's right. That's right. Yes, my archbishop once was Davy Crockett's angel. So I'll be your angel. I'll be praying for you, George. I know. My children are still scarred by that.
I have a word for the beautiful young lady next to you, Jennifer. I was just really drawn to you, and I was asking the Lord, and I believe he wants you to know that not only you're his daughter, and not only are you a princess, but you're a queen in the making. There's a regalness about you. And there's power and there's authority that's going to be that you're going to be growing into, and he just wants to know not only how much he loves you, but that you have a position and a place that's going to be very important.
Before Karen gave that word, the Lord showed me there's a princess and a queenly anointing on you, so you're going to carry a lot of authority as the years go by. Okay, God's going to put you into a lot of situations because you're going to be a person of influence in the Spirit for sure.
For Lisa.
John, you got another word?
Yes.
Hey, just give the microphone to her.
I started getting, for this is for Lisa. I've just been, you know, looking at you and praying that, what the Lord wanted to say to you. And, you're the youngest, that whole Antonello crew there. And sometimes the youngest gets feeling like they may get left out because everybody else gets all the good stuff, you know. And but the Lord has got some really, really incredible things ahead for you, you know, and it just reminded me to remind you that the first will be last, and the last will be first, and so there's things that he's uniquely preparing you for. All your life he's been preparing you and for these things, and you have a real joy. You always have, ever since I've known you as a little bit kid, because you brought so much joy to my life. But there's just a kind of joy thing that he's placed in you that is very infectious. And it really ministers to people in a real deep way. But don't, just because you're the youngest, don't feel that way.
Let's, one more. Deborah.
One more, that's it?
That's it.
Wow.
Well, we got to have 3 hours for you and Dan to pray for people. Okay.
I can't point very good right now. Man in the yellow shirt.
Back here.
Back there.
Yeah.
I see you as a defender and a protector. And you may not see yourself that way, but you're going to be influential in the coming year and years in bringing together the races. I see that you're going to be a defender and a protector through this process. That's all I got.
I'm ready for word and knowledge stuff, yeah.
All right, let's give...
I'd finish for that young lady next to Jennifer. Right when Karen started speaking to you, I heard the name Esther. And if you know anything about Queen Esther, and if you don't, read the story, because the Lord is giving you a Queen Esther anointing.
Amen. Let's just see what God, here's what we want to do. You know, when I've prayed for you this way before. When Jesus prayed for his disciples in John 20, it says he blew on them and then said, receive the Spirit. You know what that word receive actually means? Take. Just take it. And so those of you who just want to have a transaction with God and in terms of just entering into for the first time, or re-entering in, or renewal in, just this whole taking the fullness of Christ that's yours. You already have the Holy Spirit. And so we just want to pray for you to just take, just make a transaction with God. You know, Lord, from this point, it's your driving the bus. At this point, I'm in Christ, and you're the expert at living this Christian life, not me. I'm letting you do it. So we're going to pray for the sick. But also, if that's a prayer you want, just say, I want to enter in, or enter in again, or enter in fuller. I don't want to just walk around in ankle-deep water, knee-deep water, waist-deep water. I want to swim in the fullness of Christ, okay? And so we got some words of knowledge. Did you already have one, Dan, because you mentioned it?
I had one. When you were talking about don't ask how, the Lord said that there are some folks here that are facing some very scary financial situations. Maybe you've faced some before, but you're facing something right now, scary financial situations. And the Lord says, what is holding back your answer is you asking how. You're saying, God, I just don't see how you're going to take care of this. And his promise to you tonight is, if you will let go of that how and say, God, I don't care how, I just believe you're going to do it. Your all-sufficient grace is going to take care of this, that tonight God will turn that key and your financial battle will be taken care of.
And it's not, understand how this thing works. It's not that he won't tell you to do certain things. You just won't do it in anxiety anymore. Right. Or with push, you do it in peace. He's just the expert, okay? Also, somebody's been having some headaches. They don't have headaches every day, but they may have them 2 or 3 days in a row, and then you won't have one for a few days, and you may have one for 2 or 3 days in a row again. Sort of intermittent, but it's sort of a consistent series of just having headaches. That's been going on for a little while. Who is that? Okay, I want to make sure. Well, let's spread out. Let's do this. We're going to need some help, possibly some catchers, just in case. Alrighty. Like I've told you before, we don't need any courtesy falls. But let the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do. Whenever I've had that attitude towards the Lord, he always does so much more. All righty? And so one of the things, too, we pray, God will do some inner healing in your heart and stuff, and spread out, guys. Create lines. Let's see. Young, I'm impressed. You can do this on your own. You don't need him. Okay? But again, we're going to need some catchers. Let's give some more words of knowledge, but go ahead. Just spread out. Go and get in lines. Alrighty? Go down this way. Down the line. Everybody. If you're coming. Who is it that's been having some issues with your elbows? So I'm hearing not just one, but both. Elbows? Maybe some soreness? Who is that? It's you? Okay. You can't whisper because I get old. I can't hear if you would. Go down there and find the line. Every person represents a line.
We're here to catch.
You're here to catch. Amen. Thanks, guys. Just a chronic sinus infection. I think there's more to it than that. I don't really understand. I know it's nasal, but it's been kind of chronic. Who's that? Okay, come. And George? Okay. Well, come ahead. You guys got words of knowledge? Young? Go ahead, pray for this guy, y'all. They're coming down to get in line.
Right hip. Right
hip? Who's having some issues with your right hip? There you go, Miriam, come on. You can stay home. She's going to Africa with me. There's another right hip person. Who is that? Anybody? Right hip? No? All right, somebody here who's been losing hearing, particularly in one ear. Who's that? Hearing issues. Especially up here? George again. Oh, guys, I remember George, yeah. Okay, I remember that about you, George, now. Yeah. We'll pray for you again, okay? Who else? Anybody else about the hearing thing? Okay, Bridget. Right there. Pacillo. You're used to Italians praying for you. Okay? Thank you. We're going to do this way. It's really simple. Talked about this the other night. Who's having issues with depression? You're having issues with depression? And hearing too?
My daughter's here.
With depression? Mm-hmm. Deborah, depression's there too, okay? Who's been struggling with some depressions out there? Just stand up. You want to come up here. Stand up. Just stay right where you're at. Just stand up. Who else? Okay? So, Lord Jesus, we ask you to come now. Overshadow this situation. Lord, where there's brain chemistry issues that need to be brought into balance, I just command the chemistry of your brain to be brought into total balance. I rebuke the depression, the sadness, the oppression, and I command your depression to go now and to not return. Any spirit of depression, I rebuke you, and I bind you off of them, and I break the power of any word, curse, spell, or hex or incantation brought against you, send it back to its source. In Jesus' name, I break the power of any word, curse, spell, hex, or incantation spoken against you, and I send it back to its source. In Jesus' name, I break the power of any word, curse, spell, hex, or incantation spoken against you, and I send it back to its source in the name of Jesus. All depression, go. Be gone in the name of Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. When we were in this last trip to Brazil, the first night we were there, we weren't supposed to minister, but this church has 9,500 people, something like that, Kenzie. And right, and so they had all these like marriage weekend things going on. So they were all meeting on a Tuesday night, the leadership and a group of people, and they were in like four different rooms in the sanctuary, so there's a bunch of people. And Paulo Garcia just wanted us to go and introduce ourselves and prepare them for the weekend that was going to come starting on Thursday night. But we walked through this one room, it was just a room full of women, and they were receiving some instructions, I forgot what it was all about. We walked there, and we're just supposed to say, hello, how you doing? We're the ones that are going to be here. And man, there was so much depression in the room, you could feel it. And the Lord healed gazillions of them. And we left, the 2 weeks later, there were the testimonies that was still true. And we saw so many people healed instantly. Now, if that doesn't happen to you, then what do? You walk in His Word one step at a time. Your feelings will come around. We've just seen a lot of people instantly healed from depression. Okay? Poor Ron's over here by himself. If you need healing, and you didn't get a word, but you still need healing, just come and get in line. And again, if you just want prayer for renewal in the Spirit, just let whoever is praying for you. Don't forget, team, pray for renewal for those who long for it. And I'll particularly be... an apostolic anointing. And so in this realm of praying for people, especially for renewal, there's an apostolic anointing on me, and so I'd be glad to pray for you. So if catchers are kind of keep an eye on what's going on over here.